Get ready for conflicts where movie reviews collide.
Welcome to today's episode of Conflicts, the podcast, where we review movies and you care because we love you.
Hi. We do. We love you. I love you.
Today, we are discussing A Star is Born. Dun, dun, dun. I'm trying to make it more dramatic. It's really not a dramatic movie. I mean, it is a dramatic movie, but
I'm like,
it's a very dramatic movie. I take that back. Hi, I'm your moderator and totally on top of all my thoughts right now. My name's Laura. I'm here with our reviewers, Rich.
Hello.
And Nick.
Hello.
Nick's English now. I like it. As I said, today we are covering A Star is Born, the directorial debut of Mr. Bradley Cooper. He also helped in the screenplay along with Eric Roth and Will Feder. Stars Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga, Sam Elliott, Dave Chappelle, and Andrew Dice Clay. I have to say, that was a really unusual casting choice. It worked, but like when I saw that movie, I'm like, is that Andrew Dice Clay?
It wasn't until about halfway through the movie that I realized who it was.
Yeah, he looks haggard, but I can't imagine that he's lived an easy life.
I don't know. I have a lot to say about Andrew Dice Clay that probably can't say right now. So
for anybody born after like 1995, you have no idea what we're talking about. Welcome, Google it.
I educated my children on this one. That was an interesting conversation.
Yeah. Well, he was an interesting guy back in the day. Maybe he's calmed down. Maybe he's cool.
He did. He tried to make a point of cleaning up his image at one point, and
Vegas when they tried to make it family friendly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Branson.
No, because he did a sitcom for a while. And remember, he even stopped being called Dice. He wanted to just be called Andrew Clay. And he wasn't overly successful with that.
I mean, I can imagine that would be a difficult mountain to climb.
Yeah, no, I think it was. But, I try to remember that was, doesn't necessarily say who he was. That was the character he was portraying.
Yeah, there's the word Dice in there.
I realize that, you got to be willing to portray that character. So maybe.
You got to commit to the bit, bro.
Not a full excuse, but yeah, that was pretty extreme.
For you children, he was a big old D-bag back in the day. Enough said.
He was a shock comedian. That's what he was going for. He was the comedian.
Who pandered to the lowest common denominator. Yeah.
No, I mean, but there was a fair amount of that then.
Mm-hmm. It was on trend.
Yeah, it was at the time.
It was before things went viral, kids. This movie was released, at least in the U.S., October 5, 2018. It actually grossed worldwide box office $432 million and only had a budget of $36 million. So for something that's not like an action-adventure movie, this killed it at the box office. For a brief synopsis, we have seasoned musician Jackson Maine discovers and falls in love with struggling artist Allie. She has just about given up on her dream to make it big as a singer until Jackson coaxes her into the spotlight. Even as Allie's career takes off, the personal side of their relationship begins to break down. Now, an interesting thing about this movie is that this is the fourth film titled A Star is Born. The original was in 1937, starring Janet Gaynor and Frederick March. Interestingly enough, the character of Allie was then called Esther Blodgett, and the male's character's name was Norman Maine. She was not attempting to make it as a singer, but was attempting to make it as an actor, and Norman helped her achieve success in doing that. This movie was also not a musical, but then you follow that up 17 years later with 1954's iteration starring Judy Garland and James Mason. The characters have the same name. She is attempting to become an actor, not a musician, but this one is a musical with sweeping song and dance numbers. Fast forward 22 more years. We have Barbara Streisand and Kris Kristofferson playing John Norman and Esther Hoffman. Names have been updated. And Esther Hoffman dreams of becoming a singer, not an actor. John Norman is part of a band. That's
I do remember that movie, actually. I was like, when that was a movie.
Babs had some really great hair. Like, she really did. Great. Like, rocked her, like, natural. It was beautiful. And then you fast forward 42 more years, and we have Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper starring as Jackson Maine and Ali, no last name given, attempting to become a musician, not an actor. It's so interesting to me that there's something about this story, because essentially all of these are the same story. Girl has dream, girl meets boy, they fall in love, boy helps girl achieve dreams, heartbreak follows.
Mm-hmm.
It's all pretty much the same thing. But something about this particular story has captured people's imaginations enough that four times over the course of, 80 years, this movie has been remade.
Or maybe the rights are just easy to obtain.
It could be the It's a Wonderful Life effect of it's free, so they play it all the time.
Could be.
Although NBC bought the rights to that, and I think they only play it like twice a year now. Once again, kids, every time you turn the TV on back in the day, It's a Wonderful Life was on.
Back before Law and Order.
Okay. Or NCIS.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, this moment serves as your spoiler warning. From this point forward, this podcast will contain spoilers. Why are you listening to a podcast about a movie that you haven't seen? Okay.
You just pause.
They needed to understand my honest irritation. Yes, listener, I'm irritated at you for listening to a podcast of a movie you haven't seen. It's irresponsible, and you're going to spoil it for yourself. It's like eating your dessert first. Don't do it. It's bad.
Sorry, Mom.
All right, Nick, I'd like to start with you. I want you to give me your review of this film.
I gave this one a B+. I gave it that, not on the actor's skill level. I mean, not skill level, but like the passion they put behind these characters, because they dominated it.
Yeah.
I gave it that because it was hard for me to watch.
How so?
Watching him pretty
devolve.
Much... kill himself,
yeah,
which he did, but like with the bottle, because I have friends and family who are alcoholics,
so you've experienced that, and it was hard to watch.
Yeah, and it was just like, oh shit, this is actually really tough to watch. And I've actually had friends commit suicide, and it's just hard. So when I was watching it, I was like, I hate watching him do this to himself, because it was just too heartbreaking. But he sold it, which is what he was supposed to do. And another thing, this is just me being nitpicky, that genre of music very popular. It is that he was singing.
Oh, gotcha.
That Bradley
okay.
Cooper was like,
it's
oh,
like he's Jackson Maine's music.
He is such a famous musician. It's like, you're kind of teetering on the Willie Nelson, which is funny because Willie Nelson's son is the one band provided the instrumentals. Did I say that right?
Instrumental.
Yeah, there you go.
The instrumentation?
Yes, for
they played
his
the music?
Band.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So they're like, that's really cool.
Because Willie Nelson's son is pretty much Willie Nelson younger, but...
Willie Nelson 2.0.
Yeah, he did the music for that.
That's so cool.
He helped co-write it and stuff. So that genre of music isn't very popular. So I didn't believe that like they're going to be playing Coachella. No. But I mean, you're not Jay-Z. But it was cool. And
I thought they were going for more like a Blake Shelton.
Really?
Yeah. And I could see where
that doesn't make anything any better.
Well, I wasn't saying that it does, but
does anybody listen to Blake Shelton?
I mean, he's pretty popular.
He is, but I think because of the voice.
Oh,
but,
that's probably why.
But, I mean, I don't know. But I did like Lady Gaga. This is, her first starring role, I think? Annihilated.
Like,
for somebody who's not an actress.
Girlfriend knocked it out of the MFing park.
Yeah. And I don't know. It was just hard for me to watch them as a couple.
But it was like on a personal level. It was just kind of hard for you to watch that.
Yeah. And I almost, because I've kind of forgotten a lot about the movie because we waited to record this one. And I was almost about to rewatch it. And I'm like, I can't like I cried. I'm not even gonna lie. I'm like, wow, this one cut deep. So full pass on that.
Yeah. Like, how do you feel about it, Rich?
So I gave this one a C-. And
interesting.
You know, I think I'm pretty much going to have to disagree with everything that Nick just said. I didn't feel any connection to the characters at all. There were moments of brilliance in the acting. I will definitely give it that. but I didn't, they didn't connect me in any way whatsoever. From the very beginning, I'm like, this guy's just a dipshit drunk. And everything that happened after that, I kept thinking to myself, well, duh. I was like, oh, guess what, lady? You get yourself involved with a dipshit drunk, and he's going to do dipshit drunk things. And everyone, I'm like, this is what happens. You are telling the story that so many other people have fallen for. He's not going to change. Why are you bothering? And this is what's going to happen. The way I saw a movie full of enablers.
Dude, I'm going to touch on that one later.
Yeah, I saw a movie full of people who seemed to be okay with it and then were somehow shocked by the result. And they just never sold these to me. I never connected with them in any way. It felt to me like somebody in Hollywood was Nick, and they knew somebody who did this, so the story meant something to them, but then they forgot to actually put that in the movie. It's like you only make sense if you know the backstory. It's only connected to it if you had read the comic book for a better way of putting it. So, you know, I mean, I guess I'm fortunate in I don't have much of that disease in my family, so I've never had to experience it directly. Although, unfortunately, I have had brushes with people who unfortunately took their life. So I you know, a little bit with there. But I don't feel like this movie connected in any real way. And so I think a lot of it fell flat. And then it was trying to be supported by those moments of brilliant acting, and there just wasn't enough of it. There was glimpses, and it just made pinpoints of light and not a full movie for me.
Yeah. No, and I agree with you, like how you were saying enablers and like, why are you with this dipshit? Because I've said that I never dated somebody who was like that or been with somebody, but like I've just seen people.
You've
like
watched
that,
other people.
And I've seen that, and I'm like, well, you're the dipshit with them. Like, but it's hard because you kind of care for them. So I get what you're saying.
You know, even the scene, there's a scene where he goes and punches his brother, which, by the way, I didn't realize that was his brother until that point in the movie.
Because they actually don't state it.
They really
then.
Don't.
It's just this dude who looks like his dad.
Which kind of leads into my point of why it was difficult to connect with these characters. Because that was supposed to be this emotional moment where he's mad at his brother for selling this land that was their father's. But they never made me give a crap about it. I just didn't care because they never gave me a reason to care about that, or even between the brothers. And then they just walk away from each other, and that's the end of it. It wasn't complete. It was like a bunch of individual emotional scenes that didn't fit together. And I just lost it. I didn't hate the movie by any means, but
didn't pull you in.
Yeah, I ended up with a really half-hearted meh.
Yes, I see where you're going with this, but I don't see a reason why they should have remade this movie for a fourth time. But I am glad they did because of the success that it gave to, I mean, not like I know her on a personal level, call me, but Lady Gaga going from just a hip hop artist and now winning, would she win an Oscar or whatever?
The song won an Oscar.
Yeah.
And then I think she won she won like a Globe for acting.
Yeah. I mean, she was up for like best supporting actress.
That, guys, I'm sorry.
I mean, she, to me, somebody, because it's hard to be a triple threat, and she can sing, she can dance, and act.
And she put in the hard work to get there.
And she did.
She's absolutely talented. Now, I'm a bit of a music guy. You know, I have a background in music. So, you know, I maybe I didn't really make me authority in any way whatsoever, but I try to act like it does. you know, I could just say I have more of a connection with it. You know, so I understand that she's extremely talented, even though I'm not a particular fan of hers, but I recognize the talent, and she is. She's totally talented. And so is Bradley Cooper. You know, even what he did musically here, and I know he had a lot of people helping him, but, you know, there's definitely a lot of talent there because that music was legit. You know, I'm not a country guy either, so. You know, even though that's not my thing, I understand, I recognize there was a lot of talent that actually went behind there. But at the same time, that's another thing that kind of ruined it for me. I felt that this movie had an identity crisis. It couldn't decide whether it wanted to be a character drama with music as a backdrop or be an actual story about music with characters as a backdrop. They kind of just switched back and forth. And they lost something in the middle. They tried to straddle that line, and I think they just failed at both.
I respect that.
Yeah. No, I can see everything you're coming from with your points.
But I think with the way they did that, though,
but
is how that movie became so popular. people who are into music are like, oh, this is really good music for mm-hmm. not liking mm-hmm. country, or tugging at someone's heartstrings, you know, because mm-hmm. they're like, oh, man, that's like.
Well, and then you have the song Shallow, which kind of
blew up
has,
on the radio.
Well, and it has its feet in different worlds because it's not quite a country. It's not quite a anything else, you know, yeah. the style of the song.
It's a little just cross a
ballad,
genre.
Yeah.
It's a ballad.
It is.
It's, I hope it becomes a ballad.
You're such a spaz.
They've got that old blues feel, a little southern rock in there where it crosses that
they
line.
They kept the gaga-ness of it with like how the shallow's drawn out, yeah. the phrasing of it. It's very mm-hmm. gaga.
No, they. I mean, they made some legit music there. They really did, mm-hmm. and I'm okay with it crossing over. I just didn't buy it. Just didn't.
No, the genre of music I didn't buy. I started to buy it a little bit more whenever she became a solo artist, like towards the end of the middle of the movie, and she's becoming a hip hop artist. I'm like, oh, okay, well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
But like for her to start off as a sort of a sidekick backup singer for him in a country band, I don't believe that.
See, I didn't feel that it was supposed to be quote unquote country. I thought that it was supposed to be more of like a classic rock vibe that has like kind of like ZZ Top that has a lot of country feel to it.
Mm.
That's what I took his genre to be.
It was more of a modern southern rock kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where it's definitely got that country undertone.
Yeah, I mean, there's country undertones.
But it's rock enough that it kind of crosses over.
Has some mass appeal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But see, like, bands like that are so few and far between. Like, there's a bunch of them out there, but to be that famous, like,
mm-hmm.
Chris Stapleton's the only one that I know of that I can remember his name.
You were going to say Chris Gaines.
No, I don't even know who Chris Gaines is.
It was when
Garth Brooks like,
tried to have
ego.
Like that like pop album or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't have a problem with how they were trying to portray him as far as his level of fame and you know that he was a big artist, because they never really explained. He's just big. What's big?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Adam Levine is very, very popular. But that doesn't mean everybody loves him. You know, so I was okay with that part. It didn't bother me.
I don't know who that is.
Adam Levine?
Maroon 5.
Oh, that's his name. Okay.
Yeah.
I just know, hey, Maroon 5. Okay.
Yeah, Nick is really in touch with music.
I am not.
All right, Rich, so there was a lot of this that just didn't resonate that much with you. But we're going to pick a best and we're going to pick a worst. And I'd like to start with you. Find the best thing for me, Rich. Just the thing that you just loved.
Oh, absolutely. Andrew Dice Clay. No, I'm kidding.
with his opera music in the background.
You know, but I'm half joking about that. But honestly, I'm actually going to be serious and say not just him, but that little crew of
the older guys.
The older guys.
Drive the cars.
I thought they were the most.
They were charming.
They were the most human characters in it. And I loved how much they loved and supported his daughter, like unquestioningly. There, you know, there was the scene where like the, you know, his dudes are helping him out and, you know, they're carrying him into the shower. And like mm-hmm. that was like total bro moment where these guys are like, no, we're fixing this. And my buddies are here. Like, those are the guys that will bury a body for
you. Yeah, those are your ride or die.
Exactly. And like, to me, they were actually far more human than the main character, even though they were kind of, you know, bit parts.
Yeah.
So
what about you, Nick? What's best for you?
I'd probably just say that acting in general. I just like the way that they, to me, made the story come to life. I don't know.
The performances.
Yeah. Rich has other issues. I mean, you know, Bradley Cooper portrayed a pill-popping alcoholic very well.
And mad respect to what he did to his voice, because if you hear Bradley Cooper speak normally, his voice does not sound like he ate gravel for breakfast, and he had to work really hard to get that gravel in his voice.
You know, I don't want to make it sound like I'm disparaging their efforts.
You think they suck, and you suck because you think it.
They're great. And honestly, like I said, they had moments of brilliance, and they really did some good acting. I just don't feel that the movie overall and what they tried to portray was compelling enough. You know, if you look at individual scenes, if we're going to dissect those, there mm-hmm. are some amazing individual scenes. Mm-hmm. You just put them together and you ended up with nothing, in my opinion.
Well, and I kind of felt like he did a good job also like lowering his voice because
mm-hmm.
his hearing was going away towards the end of the movie.
It takes a lot of work. Believe me, I've tried to lower my voice. I sound like a 12-year-old boy. It's hard. It's really hard. It's a lot of work.
No, they did. They
without
did
damaging
job.
Your voice, I should say.
I don't want to be harsh on the actors because they there's some good stuff there. There really is. Mm-hmm. I just think that
this wasn't enough for you.
You know, it lost its way. It was just too disjointed. They didn't tell a complete story. There was like It was almost like the highlight reel from a good story.
Mm-hmm. It did feel like it was about 15 to 20 minutes too long.
Yeah, I mean, and there were scenes, you know, that where he proposes to her. And, like, this is supposed to be an emotional scene, but all I'm thinking to myself is, girl, you are with, like, this extremely famous musician.
That you just found in a field in Memphis.
Yeah, and you're going to be cool with this all of a sudden? Like, this really felt like the jackass guy move where you screw up and you're like, but marry me, and you'll forget about all this. I just screwed up. And I think that's kind of what it was. And it just took me out of it. And I'm like, okay, you guys are just dipshits now, and I'm done with you.
All right, Rich.
You've been to Arkansas before, right? That's like every dude's MO in that town. They're like, I'm sorry, bail me out for meth one last time. Marry me.
That sounds like you're speaking from experience, Nick.
I've never been to jail for meth.
What have you been to jail for?
Never been to jail, I should say.
Full disclosure.
No, you're someone's bitch.
That's Bailey's.
That's his wife's name.
That's so true.
All right, we found the best. Now let's find the worst. Rich, pick one. Throw a dart and hit it.
Yeah, where do I start with the worst? This is going to be probably my most controversial statement so far, but the suicide.
Mm-hmm.
It was the worst for me because they did not build it up enough. And I was to the point when it happened, I'm like, whew, thank God that means the movie's almost over. but at the same time, I'm like, this is a terrible thing that's happening. I should feel something here, but I don't because they just never gave me a reason to feel it. And I'm just ready for this to end. So, you know, I felt like the movie was committing suicide as much as he was.
I think we can all agree that the suicide was the worst part. I mean, it was well acted and well done, but as a viewer, that's the worst part of the movie you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Nick?
I'd probably say like the last 15 minutes of that movie, like the suicide. And then I didn't like her singing his song. I felt like that shouldn't have been in there.
Mm.
Well, I kept trying to understand the context. Like, did you really just like, hey, everybody, come fill a theater so we can remember
her hair was different. So it was supposed to signify that a significant amount of time had gone by.
It still seemed to me like, hey, guys. I got some bills to pay, so let's cash in on my dead husband's memory.
Well, yeah, it was like that, but he didn't strike me like that should have been a tribute thing, because I don't know why he would have been that famous to be like a Michael Jackson tribute, you know what I mean?
It could have been easily explained by like showing the marquee out front or something, like just a shot of like, you know, one night only, a tribute to Jackson Maine. And
it felt to me like they were trying to once again hammer home the fact that Lady Gaga can sing. I know she can sing. I got it. I didn't need this movie to convince me that Lady Gaga can sing well. She's tremendous. So, you know, I didn't need that at all. It just
for me, I gotta be honest, the worst part was immediately after the suicide when the dog lays down in the driveway. I didn't lose it until that moment. Like, I didn't cry at all until that dog just laid down. Because that dog didn't do nothing. That dog deserved better.
That's Bradley Cooper's dog.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
See, I guess that kind of sums up maybe my problem with the movie. Because I'm to me, movies should be emotional. I'm not the guy that's like, I'll never cry in a movie. You know, there should be emotion. That's the point. It's supposed to connect with you on that level. And this one didn't. There were several times where like that, where I'm like, I should feel something here, but I don't. And it was very much like you're hearing a story about something bad that happened to somebody that somebody else knew. And you have no connection with whatsoever. And you're like, oh, that sounds terrible. I'm so sorry.
I felt plenty of emotions before the dog. I just didn't feel sadness until the dog laid down.
And then
I was just like, oh, poor baby. He's so confused. I will say that the best part of the movie for me was also when she brought the dog home. I really like dogs, folks. Dogs are better than people.
You're not wrong.
It was just, I got so excited. I was just like, oh my God, they're getting a puppy. They're going to be fine. And then they weren't.
Yeah, well, once again, though, it felt like, hey, honey, I screwed up. Have a puppy.
She brought the puppy, not him.
Yeah, but it felt like, okay. Still felt the same way.
All right. We've heard your opinions. Now it is my turn. I don't know that I've ever been more on the fence about a grade than this one. I have settled on a C+. I think this movie is beautifully acted and directed. It has outstanding music, but it is really rushed and confusing. I would point to Dave Chappelle. Who is Dave Chappelle? I don't know. Why were they in Memphis? I don't know. What's his ties to all of those people? The random people in the church that knew him that married them. Who are those people? I don't know. We don't know. We don't know a lot. A lot hops around. We don't know how big of a star Jack's Maine was. We don't know how long he'd been famous. We don't know how famous he was. We don't know why those people in the gay bar, the drag queens, knew who he was. How long were they together? How long were they on tour? How long is their story arc? How long after he died did she go sing the song in front of the people? Ooh, how long can I go without bumping the table? We don't know any of these things. And ultimately, I like this movie. I do. I would point to the scene between Sam Elliott and Bradley Cooper in the truck when he's driving him back from rehab. Mm-hmm. That scene is beautiful. Their words say nothing. They're having mundane conversation, but what they inform with their eyes and the emotion that they bring to that scene is, it's a masterclass in acting. But it wasn't enough. My confusion and all of the parts that got left out weren't enough to make up for the beautiful acting and directing. And I've seen it twice now. I will probably rewatch it, but I was left so out of the loop that I really can't give it higher than a C+.
I'll never watch it again, probably.
Yeah, I probably won't either.
It'll be a while before I watch it again. But I mean, it is ultimately, it's a good movie. It's so watchable, but there's just so much that we miss out on that I want.
Yeah, you're hitting on kind of like, I think what my point was here. I felt like I was watching the highlight reel of a really good movie.
But they left out the good parts.
They left out all the little pieces that connect it together.
And they gave you some pieces that you really didn't want or need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the stuff in rehab with him, we really didn't need. A lot of the stuff early on that's supposed to be building their relationship, we really didn't need.
Yeah, no, they really didn't. I felt the same way. Like it felt like we were missing something that maybe... if you read the book or something, you know.
Yeah, or maybe if you saw the other three movies of the
same
name.
Did you watch one with Barbara Streisand?
Maybe that fills in the gaps. I don't know. All in all, I do think it deserved the awards that it got. I think it deserved the attention it got. I think that song deserved all the attention that it got. It was in too big of a hurry to tell too much information.
Which is weird because the thing's over 2 hours long.
It is.
They were so rushed because it's like, wow.
I have a theory that every once in a while, people catch lightning in a bottle. They have an idea and the right group of people come together and they make so much magic that it's too much magic to fit in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what happens here. I think Rich would probably disagree, but I think they were capturing a little bit of magic with this movie.
No, I don't disagree with that at all, actually.
The way that they showed it to us, we didn't get to feel the magic with them.
See, I think that, you know, we're in an interesting time right now anyway with not just movies, because, you know, movies, the line is blurred. I know I've said this before. Game of Thrones comes on tonight. And
yeah.
Game of Thrones is not considered a movie, but I would argue that it kind of is.
It's a long-form movie.
It really is. You know, we're seeing those lines being blurred in media today and what people are being released. Part of the reason why Netflix series have become so popular is because people have an ability to tell a story in a way they didn't necessarily have before. And I think this movie would have been better off as, say, a 6-part Netflix series where they could have given us the rest of those pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I think that doing it as a movie was the wrong medium to tell the story that they were trying to tell, because then they did have to try to push it into a movie that was still already too long but didn't seem long enough.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if they could have made this into a 6 or 8 or 9 episode show, you know, one-off subscription service, Netflix, Hulu, you know, pick your favorite, pick who gives you the best deal and tell us that full story, and I think it would have been much better, where they could, you know, give us some segments and fill in those gaps.
I still think it's going to be 10 to 20 years before that's the norm, though. I still think there's enough of a gap between pieces being looked at as only a movie or only a TV show before anybody's ever going to even look at doing something like that to bridge a gap, because you have a longer story to tell.
Well, the problem is you have to bridge industries as well. So there are real world problems that aren't necessarily just artistic that are going to have to bridge those gaps before you get that as well. So, yeah, you're right. It's going to take a while. I hate to make predictions like that because you just never know.
No, and I think it's where things are headed.
But I do. I think that those lines are being blurred completely, and I think it's a good thing.
Isn't there a song in the movie about blurred lines?
I think that's just a Robin Thicke song.
Yeah. Which is also a terrible song if you actually listen to the
lyrics. It's a horrible song.
Huh.
It's one of those...
Alan Thicke's kid.
saying that. Yeah, that's weird. I didn't know that for a long time. That weirded me out. Anywho, my turn. All right, I told you my review. Now we're going to dive into Female Factor. We're going to look at this from a feminist perspective. And you guys might think that I'm going to be pretty hard on this movie when we're looking at it through a feminist lens because, let's be honest, it does leave some things to be desired in that department. It does not pass the Bechdel test purely by default because Allie never actually speaks to another woman in the movie because there are only three women with speaking roles in the whole thing. And the quote-unquote star is not even given a last name of her own. But this movie isn't about a star being born. This movie isn't actually a movie about Allie at all. This movie is about Jackson. So I suppose the point that I'm trying to make today is that despite the fact that I would have liked more female representation in this movie and it could have used a bit more feminism, there is room in the world for a story about a man. Feminism doesn't mean that women take over for men. It doesn't mean that there's no room for a story about a man and his journey. There are so many connotations with the word feminist, but we sometimes get lost in what it really means. All it means, the simplest explanation, is that women want to have the same that men have. That's all. All that being said, Allie is a strong woman who realizes her dreams and overcomes unimaginable heartbreak. Jackson is a compelling individual with flaws but a heart of gold and so many demons to outrun. Both are very real stories that make this a very relatable movie regardless of gender.
Oh, I thought there was more. It seemed like then Nick.
Awkward pause.
You know, I kind of hit on this before because I was interested to hear how you were, what your take on this was going to be. My problem stems from the fact that I felt like this was just from the beginning a toxic relationship. This was
I agree.
This was like a classic example.
This is a case study of a codependent relationship.
It was, and like from the beginning to end, and I that just kind of torqued me off, honestly. I'm like, why are you guys?
I struggled with that as well. Because on the one hand, you look at it, it's like I said, I had a really hard time grading this movie because on the one hand, you look at it and that is so many people's real story. I can think of real life examples right now that live in toxic codependent relationships. But on the other hand, it also glorifies it because she becomes this world famous singer and she's taking over the world and they're swept up in their romance. And yeah, he fucks up real bad, but then they go get married and they love each other so much and it's okay. Where is it?
I don't know. See, to me, this was classically an abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. Maybe not physically, mostly mentally, but he was a terrible person and she should have like been nowhere near him. She should have, from the very beginning, be like, you're awful, I'm out.
And they tried to do that with her saying something about, I'll never come looking for you again. But then she did.
But then she did, which is what happens. It's the, we have the supposedly breakthrough emotional moment, and then we just go back to doing the same stuff that we've done before. And maybe had that been their point in the movie, I would have liked it better.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seemed to me like, yeah, I don't know. I've seen too many episodes of Springer to think that this is anything great.
Yeah. No, I get it on the whole.
For me to realize what you just said. I was like, Springer.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It did. It seemed like this is the classic Jerry Springer episode where I just want to look at him and say, well, how the hell do you guys think this is going to work out? This was obviously, there's where this was headed.
Yeah.
So, maybe I'm too cynical.
I guess we're ultimately headed for the end. Those are our opinions on A Star Is Born. You guys have anything else to add?
No, I'm good. I'm ready to, I'm over this movie.
I'm over.